Good morning. Thanks so much for the warm introduction. It's a pleasure to be with all of you. Want to recognize at the start the tireless advocacy of Dr. Keller, the president of the Military Child Education Coalition, and of the leadership of Dr. Ron Astor, the Wood Professor at the School of Behavioral Health at USC, for helping to bring to light the challenges that many of our military-connected children face. As I thought about today, I know this initiative was partly launched because of a student who lost her father while he served in the military, and the fact that despite her loss, her teachers didn't know about the impact on her family, what had happened in her family, until she started crying during a Christmas ceremony. And that story stuck with me particularly because I lost both my parents when I was a kid, my mom when I was 8, my dad when I was 12, and moved around between family members and schools. And I have a particular sympathy for the challenges that kids face in school when they are facing crises outside of school in their family, or facing difficulty, or moving between schools. And so for me, this is a deeply personal question about how we ensure that all of our schools support our students, not just academically, but support their socio-emotional needs to make sure that they have the opportunity to thrive. That issue of compassion and an unwavering focus on the needs of students is something that I think has to be at the forefront for every principal, every teacher in our country as we think about how to advance education as a country. For many of our military-connected children, they are facing many stresses, whether it is frequent moves between schools, and we know that on average military children will attend 6 to 9 different schools. And we know there are many children who are making multiple moves during a single school year. We know the challenge that brings for students as they have to change friends and classes and learn new routines. We know many children are dealing with family members who are deployed and away from the family and the challenges that that brings at home. We know that many children are in class thinking about their parent who is somewhere giving service, risking his or her life on behalf of the country, and thinking about that parent and worrying about their safety. And those are challenges. We've got to ensure our teachers and principals are ready to support our students as they face. And we've got to make sure our schools have the school counseling and the mental health services and the wraparound services that our students need. We also know that teachers in their preparation, and I'm so pleased that we have teacher preparation programs in the room, teachers in their preparation need to begin to think about how they might meet those challenges that their students may face and how they might best support their students. In preparing for today, I had a conversation with a number of educators, including educators locally, who are working with military-connected families. And a couple of the stories stood out to me in particular. One was a story shared by the principal of the Lecky Elementary School, who I see in the back, Natasha James. And she shared a story about a student who had moved, a young student who'd moved so many times. In fact, she'd moved 18 times in the last 4 years, that she explained to her principal that she knew that if she didn't unpack right away, if she didn't unpack in the first 2 months, she would never unpack. And so when you think about what it is for a kid to be thinking that way about how frequently she's changing schools, you can understand the challenges. And then the principal described, Ms. James described, watching how the student was reluctant in some ways to create friendships and relationships at school, knowing that there would soon be another transition. But she talked about the importance at Lecky, which serves many military-connected children, of creating a warm and supportive culture that acknowledges that mobility but says, we're a family here, and you're a part of our family. And you may move away, but you are a part of our family. You'll always be a part of our family, and works to overcome those challenges. So I'm pleased that Ms. James was able to join us, and I appreciate her sharing that powerful story. Another teacher who was part of that conversation, Danielle Massey, who's also a military spouse and a military mom, talked about a student that she had, Felix, who was always getting in trouble. And she wasn't quite sure why he was always getting in trouble. He was sort of the class clown. And he was always getting in trouble, and she decided she was going to intervene with Felix and kind of get him back on track. And she worked very intensively with him and got him back on track. And then she went to a welcome home ceremony, as she often did, and saw Felix there. And she watched Felix run to his father and then bring Felix's father over to meet her. And Felix explained to his father how Danielle had made this huge difference for him, and he really wanted him to know Miss Massey. And then she found out that Felix had been really the man of the house for his family, was supporting his mom while his dad was away, as well as younger sisters, and that was a factor in what was driving his behavior. And you know, for her, it was a powerful realization of just the impact that she was able to have as a teacher just by sticking with him through those challenges, right, and helping him to manage his emotions. And again, this is something that's so critical as we think about teacher preparation and principal preparation. How do we create schools and classrooms that feel like family? That made all the difference for me. After my parents passed, my life could have gone in a lot of different directions. Folks could have said, here's an African-American Latino male student going to New York City public school with a family in crisis. What chance does he have? But they didn't. Right? They chose to create an environment that was supportive, that was interesting, that was engaging, that was challenging. Teachers really became a family for me. And it's so important that our teachers and principals think about how they support military-connected children as being about building a family and building a culture of support. And so that's really what this work is about, and it builds powerfully, I think, on a number of commitments that have driven the work in the administration. We are focused on equity. We are focused on improving academic outcomes for all students. That includes our military-connected children, and to improve outcomes, we need schools that function like families. We've been focused throughout on trying to make sure that our schools pay particular attention to the challenges that military-connected children may face. In 2013, the department issued a Dear Colleague letter focused on highly mobile children, including military-connected children, making sure that districts and states understand their responsibility to manage those transitions well. Right? Often when you have highly mobile students who are students with disabilities, if we aren't able to ensure that records move quickly, that evaluations take place quickly, that teachers are quickly oriented to the students' needs, we lose valuable time. And the thrust of that Dear Colleague letter was to focus on the kinds of supports and attention that schools need to pay when kids are experiencing those kinds of transitions. We have encouraged our chief state school officers to support the Interstate Compact on Educational Opportunity for Military Children, again, because we know we've got to manage through those transitions that may come moving between states with different requirements around graduation credits, for example. We've worked closely with the Department of Defense on a number of joint initiatives, including a focus on STEM education. The White House Science Fair is later today. I hope some of you will be able to stop by that. STEM education, hugely important to the future of our country, both our economy and our democracy. And we focus in our partnership with the Department of Defense on STEM education. We've had partnerships around computer science education, which is critical. And as you heard on the panel just now, there is a new set of opportunities with passage of the Every Student Succeeds Act, bipartisan federal education law that builds on the history of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which was first adopted in 1965 as a civil rights law. And as we move forward with Every Student Succeeds Act implementation, there's an opportunity to focus specifically on data, on the performance and needs of our military-connected children. It is critically important that all of us in this room work together to support our state leaders and our district leaders in making the transition. It is not enough just to have a new category and a new reporting requirement. Right? That is necessary but not sufficient for changes in the opportunities and supports that are available to students. So as we work to implement ESSA, we've got to, again, stay focused on what is the training, what is the support that folks need to help students who are moving frequently, to help students who are dealing with having a parent away, to help students who are dealing with, sometimes very sadly, to loss in their family? And how do we ensure that educators have not only the preparation, but the ongoing professional development that they need to do that work? So that when we see that in a given school, military-connected children are not doing as well or not getting the same opportunities, we then have the ability to act on that information. And so that partnership between all of us in this room and states and districts will continue to be critical. I want to now, before introducing Dr. Biden, just tell you personally how important I think convenings like this are. It's just so important for folks to come together and share their strategies, their successes, and their struggles. This is a hard endeavor to make sure that our schools embrace every one of our children and lift them up and ensure their success. And it's powerful to have a convening of people who are committed to that work every day and open to continuously asking, how do we do more? How do we get better? How do we serve our students better? How do we support our families better? How do we ensure that parents, particularly a parent who may have a partner who's away on a deployment, how do we support our parents as effectively as possible? So thank you so much for being here and being a part of this conversation. In many ways, Dr. Biden needs no introduction. She is an outstanding educational leader. She has been a leader throughout the administration on issues of K-12 education, on issues of higher education. She is a military mom. She is an educator herself, and she is really someone I have deeply admired before coming to the administration and proud to get to know and proud to introduce. Dr. Biden.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see all of you here at the White House today, and there's really so many familiar faces of those who've been working with Operation Educate the Educators from the very beginning, actually. And of course, it's nice for me to see new faces here as well. And I'd like to start by thanking Secretary King for your wonderful for your wonderful introduction. And as a former teacher and the son of educators, you've dedicated your entire life to ensuring all students and teachers have the tools and resources that they need to succeed. And since you were confirmed just a month ago, I mean, you've been everywhere on behalf of our kids, so thank you very much. And I'd also like to introduce our senior spouses who are with us here today, and if they just raise their hands, so we have Sally from the National Guard. That was my son, was Delaware Army National Guard. We have Sally Lengel, if you'll raise your hand. And we also have Blair Brush with us. Blair. Blair and I traveled together to the Invictus Games, where the Wounded Warriors had all kinds of contests, and we had a lot of fun in London, didn't we? Prince Harry was pretty spectacular. And then from the Army, we have Holly Daly, and she traveled with me recently to Fort Riley in Kansas, and so we went to schools and met with the military spouses and spouses of deployed soldiers, and anyway, it was really great, and we took along Natalie Morales. We let her tag along with us, so thanks for being here today, all of you. I'd also like to thank Dr. Mary Keller and everyone at the at MSEC, Military Child Education Coalition. Thank you for your tremendous, tremendous friendship and leadership and support. You know, we couldn't do this without you. And I also wanted to thank Ron Astor behind, right next to her, from the University of Southern California. We saw firsthand in 2012 the incredible work you're doing at USC. And we wouldn't be here today without you either, so thanks, Ron. And finally, thank you to the American Association of Colleges for Teachers Education, as well as the original signatories of Operation Educate the Educators, for being here today and for your continued efforts to encourage teacher colleges to raise awareness about military-connected children on your campuses. So as immersed as I've been in this, for the last couple years. It was so interesting for me to be here today to hear some new ideas or things that I hadn't thought of. And really, I loved Rich, who talked about, you know, being positive. Like, we always think about concentrating on, you know, kids who have difficulties or special needs, or how can we help these kids? And so it's nice that we're approaching it, or starting to think about approaching it from the positive angle. I think that's so important that we don't forget that. And I learned some of the panel members say how important research is, which is, I truly believe that. So I hope the members of AERA are listening to that, because we really do need, you know, we need that basis and we need that foundation. And then I had to laugh when I went to the back room, because as an English teacher, you know, I love language. And so when Anne was talking about her ordinary magic, I wrote it down, Anne, on my pad. I thought, I have to tell Anne, her next book has to be called Ordinary Magic. And then I walk back into the room and I see you left me your book, and it's called Ordinary Magic. So believe me, I was listening. And so anyway, 5 years ago this month, the First Lady Michelle Obama and I started our Joining Forces initiative. And it was our mission to give all Americans the opportunity to step up, really, and show their support for military families. And as a lifelong educator myself and a military mom, of course, this was very personal to me. And in this role, you know, I've been privileged, really, to shine a light on thousands of families and children who have taken on these challenging roles, you know, without complaint. Really, and you know this as people in the military. And they are my everyday heroes who often want really no acknowledgement. So one of the best parts of my role as Second Lady is spending time with military families. And I've traveled, you know, the entire world and visited bases across this country and the globe. And I'm always inspired by their strength and their resilience. And you've heard that word being brought up many times today. And I've met with teachers all around the world, all around this nation, who are meeting the challenges in really creative ways. And it's been so impressive. And I've been so proud to be a teacher. You know, I met a principal from San Diego, and Ron, you probably remember this, who worked with her staff to create transition rooms that offered military families a one-stop shop resource center. I met with teachers in Illinois who are using writing and art therapy to help National Guard kids with deployed parents, you know, helping them express their anxiety and their fear. And I met a teacher in Georgia who arranges parent-teacher conferences via Skype. You know, thank God for technology, so that a deployed parent in Afghanistan can participate in that parent-teacher conference. It's just so important. And then last week, I had the opportunity to travel to Fort Riley, to an Army base in Kansas, which is home to the 1st Infantry Division. And on that base, there are more than 8,000 military children. And the school population at that Fort Riley Elementary School is 98% military connected. So you can see how important this is. I visited their classrooms, and I met some pretty incredible teachers, student teachers, parents, and students. And immediately I saw once again the resilient nature, not just of the students, but of the entire community that really came out to support them. But instead of telling you about what I saw at Fort Riley, let me show you the video.
Military children are normal people who face abnormal circumstances. Teachers are always supportive, but they don't always understand the circumstances that you're in or what you're going through. But when you come to a place like this, they have experienced this type of situation before, and they know how to provide the best support for you and to get to talk to you on a regular basis.
At the drop of a hat, you could say, I'm going here for 2 weeks, or I'm going to be in the field for a month.
We know being a middle schooler is hard, but being a middle schooler of a military child is a little bit harder because of the moves, and we always want to make sure that they're being successful. That's our ultimate goal.
I came here from Alabama just a couple years ago, and my dad is a soldier in the military. The staff that works here, they understand what you're going through and that you might be having problems with family, moving around and stuff. And then the programs that they help you with keeping your grades up, they help you catch up in the curriculum.
The big thing I think for me personally is, you know, this focus on building relationships with your students. Because we've talked about how the outside world impacts students' lives in the school. The Educators program is important because not only does it help teachers connect with military-connected kids, but it's going to help them connect with all kids.
I think it's understanding that so-and-so is having a bad day, and we're going to let them deal with their emotions instead of just expecting them to sit there and be quiet. You still have behavior standards, you still have academic standards, but there is a bit more compassion or understanding or maybe adapting.
All the people here are really supportive, especially if a parent is deployed. And when I come here, you know, I feel sort of at home. It's obviously hard to adjust when I move places, but at school, there wasn't as much pressure. People just sort of, you know, accepted you and you fit in.
One of the students I met that day told me that her family moved to Fort Riley in the middle of the school year, and so she missed the auditions for the school play. But because her teacher knew how difficult the transitions were and how starting over, how difficult it can be, they gave her the opportunity to be part of it. And that doesn't always happen for military kids. And by the way, she got the lead. So Fort Riley represents what I hope all schools do for our military families. You know, a community-wide effort, one in which Kansas State University has invested heavily in educating their teachers to better serve the needs of military students. And I'd like to take just a minute to thank Dean Deb Mercer. She's out here. Oh, there you are. From Kansas State University, for being here today and facilitating last week's discussion with the KSU student teachers at Fort Riley Middle School. So thank you. You know, the work that you are doing and that your student teachers are doing is so important in the classroom. So thank you. You know, it's just what I envisioned. And really, it really meant so much to me because I could see how much it meant to the families and to the kids, because we heard it firsthand. So it was just perfect, so thanks. So not only does it make a difference in the life of each and every student, but as you can imagine, it means so much to our service members when members of the community reach out to support military families during deployments. However, not every public school is in a military community. And when we're nearly half of all the student population is military connected. Not every teacher, faculty member, and administrator lives the same life as military families do, day in and day out. And in some cases, not all public schools and teachers have been afforded the opportunity and the resources that they need to truly understand how to recognize and support the needs of these unique and inspiring students. That's why we launched Operation Educate the Educators in 2011, to encourage teaching colleges to adopt guiding principles to better prepare educators to meet the needs of military-connected students in the classroom. And that's why we're here today. Most of the original, the 100 original signatory colleges are with us today to share the best research and ideas in the field. to help our military-connected children, to raise awareness about, you know, what's working, what's not working, and to chart a course forward on what more we can do to support and leverage the unique needs of our military-connected children. This morning you heard from leading institutions on best practices, curriculum, scientific and empirical evidence, the need to evaluate the entire life cycle, and the changes in experience at all stages. You've also learned about fostering resiliency, there's that word again, the need for deeper data, the importance of recognizing the diversity of the military-connected family, and how legislatively we can support our military-connected kids. Everyone here today has stepped up to make a real difference, but going forward, we have to challenge ourselves to do even more. There's much more that can be done to raise awareness for teacher training, as well as reaching those teachers who are already in the classroom. I believe that we have to reach out to other professionals that encounter these students on a daily basis, from counselors to the PTA, which is why I was so thrilled that many of you here are these new stakeholders in this organization. So thank you for being here. I hope you all will commit to including the military child in your curriculum, that you will reach out to your colleagues at other teaching colleges and tell them about, you know, what you learned here today, and ask them to make the same commitment that you have made. Leverage your understanding to push for further research at your schools. We know there's a need for more data for military-connected kids. We also know that the results of this data can have far-reaching implications into what is needed to support the resiliency and adaptability of military children across this nation. For those of you not associated with an educational institution, please think through about how you personally and through your organization, whatever that is, can raise awareness about the unique needs of military-connected children. I want you to know, as a military mom myself and as an educator, your efforts are so appreciated. The smallest acts of kindness can make more of a difference in the lives of so many military students and their families, much more than you might ever realize. You got into education because you feel you can make a difference in the lives of students. Military students will go unnoticed unless you step up to help. It's so simple. A word, an act, a deed. You have the power to change someone's lives. God bless our troops. Thank you.